Should old acquaintance be forgot and never come to mind? Should old acquaintance be blocked and never come to mind? Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. I'm so dramatic. Welcome back to Coffee with Yvonne, a show for creatives and entrepreneurs. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? This is our last episode of the year, y'all, and it's a bonus episode. We are doing the group chat part 2, 2023 wrap-up, and if you did not listen to last year's wrap-up, I did around this time, too, with the same folks I have on the show today, Miss Jasmine Smith, a.k.a. my Pudding Pop, and Courtney Pope, her bestie in real life, who I also adore as a fellow creative. We are going to chat about some of the trending topics of 2023. Some marketing related, some not, like them lawsuits. If you know, you know. But I hope all of you are having a lovely new year. I hope that, you know, you're taking the time to rest, because I will be, okay? This is our last episode until I come back on January 16th. January 16th. Again, I communicated January 16th. But we will start our new segment in the new year. We're going to be focusing on career, finances, and investing in your community. So that is our next segment coming up for the podcast. Anyway, enjoy this episode, this very unfiltered episode, and a low-key therapy session for fellow creatives, because I know Q4, child, I was fighting for my life, okay? I felt like Color Purple. All my life I had to fight by the end of Q4, because marketers, I know we were going through it. I know. Come on, come on. Group hug, come on. Bring it in. Mm-hmm. I know. It's going to be okay. But I know a lot of us work very hard this year, so please take time to enjoy this time of rest. Do not feel the need to engage on social media, because a lot of us are not until we feel like it. And I can't wait to see what we all have in store for ourselves. I'm wishing us prosperity and mental health and personal wealth and emotional wealth and physical wealth. Because if you're in your mid to late 30s, take your turmeric, okay? You don't want to hear them knees cracking. It don't feel good. Anyway, enjoy this episode with two of my fellow creatives. And mind you, I had some Baileys in my coffee, so it does get a little unfiltered at times. But again, Q4.
Amazon.
I got the same thing. I took it to the Renaissance tour. Mm-hmm.
Same. My Coke.
Uh-huh. Rid of songs.
Oh, my God.
As I mentioned, y'all, and please forgive us, you have three marketing professionals on this podcast today, and we have been going through it in Q4. Hello. So we may have had a little sum in our coffee before I hit record. So bear with us. It's going to be a little unfiltered, but still fun, you know? If you follow the podcast, you know the vibes. All right. So, as I mentioned, I have two of my favorite creators. And I know I say I have a lot of favorite creators, but I really do rock with a small circle, no squares, of people who are talented in every single thing they do and just be slaying the gram and snatching these edges every single time they post. I have Miss Jasmine Smith and Miss Courtney Pope back on the podcast today. And we are doing the group chat part 2, 2023 wrap up, because December was showing out. All right. December was showing out. And we got to talk about some things, because between that person and his court case.
Oh, we're coming in hot. Okay.
We're coming in hot. We got a lot to digest before this year is out. Now, I know it's New Year's Eve. Some of y'all may be going to church. Go ahead, tell Jesus I said hi. But don't forget to have your money that folds in your pocket. And let's see, make sure you carry your luggage around the house. You can travel, eat your 12 grapes, and block every family member who's toxic out of your life so you can start that new year off right. All right. I'm going to read some bios. I'm going to first start my pudding pop. Jasmine. Hi. Hi. Oh, I just love her so much. I'm so proud. Okay. Let me read her bio. Bear with me, y'all. Jasmine Smith. No, no. Jasmine Smith, known on social media as Jasmine Katrina, is a social media marketer, content creator, influencer, and strategist. By day, she works full-time in the nonprofit sector, leading marketing strategy and management within her organization. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Outside of work, she is the CEO
period.
Of PureCom & Co., a social media agency that helps business owners and brands create content and strategy that fits their goals and reaches their target audience across social media platforms. Basically, y'all, she helps y'all create y'all content because y'all know what y'all doing. When she is not working with clients, Jasmine creates beauty, faith, because she loves God, lifestyle, and fashion content on her own social platforms like YouTube, which has reached over 500 subscribers.
Thank you.
And TikTok. Jasmine has been featured in XO Nicole, various podcasts, including mine, and has been seen on a former daytime TV show, The Real, and has worked with brands such as Infinity, LYS Beauty, Ultra State, Minted Cosmetics, and many more. Moving on to her creative bestie in real life, Ms. Courtney Pope. Is a multi-hyphenate Miss Tracy Ellis Ross in training, girly with a strong background in beauty, fashion, editorial, and retail. The receipts are long, okay? By day, she is a marketing manager at Kiss Color and Care, and by night, she is head of community at Fawn World, an ever-evolving beauty digiverse. Her passion is helping brands find and harness their voice to connect with their community more authentically, fortify their brand story, and identify white spaces within their market. Okay, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it was this passion and drive that allowed her career opportunities at the likes of Kiss USA, Refinery 29, Shea Moisture, Kors, and Kiehl's. Courtney is a high level, not low level, which means pay her. Strategic thinker with an affinity for product development and a multicultural consumer. And with that being said, welcome to Coffee with Yvonne Carter, Jasmine! Hey, y'all.
Hey.
We're good.
We made it. We good.
I got, how many more days I got before I fully clock out? I got roughly 3-ish because you know by the time I hit Thursday, I don't know y'all at work. So here we are. I feel like today, y'all, we're going to just be ourselves. We're going to take our marketing hats off for the most part because I might have some questions related to what we do. But we're going to have a little bit of fun with our audience. And if you have not caught the first part of our conversation, go ahead and hit them archives so you can listen to the group chat part one. So you can hear what this dynamic sounds like without Bailey's. Okay.
Bailey needs to sponsor you, okay?
Please sponsor us, please. Please.
Many people across the globe, Q4 been at our necks, okay?
Listen.
Bam. What did I say in our group chat? It's been like the auntie who comes to the family function that you don't want to be there, but you got engaged with her anyway. Yeah. That's what Q4 has done to us.
That's honestly 2023. Like, I was just vlogging about this, and I was like, yo, like, 2023 has been, I've been eating shit cake. Like, I've been having some good moments, but I've been eating shit cake. Like, it has been kicking ass, and I'm like, handing me jabs left and right. And I've been over here looking like Martin. I'm just like, okay, God. Okay, Lord. Like, What's up? Like,
you know that GIF of Fantasia when she's walking through church and she's like throwing her head back.
Yes,
I do. That's me. I've been
you know
like,
what? That's gonna be me when I clock out on Tuesday because then my PTO begins.
Yeah, that was when I hit that out of office email setup. I said, "Yeah, we made it, Lord. We made it right here. Let's go. We made it. We made it to the finish line, Jesus. We made
Amen.
It."
Amen. Won't he do it? Won't he? Will. All right, y'all. So let's get into this first topic. Mm-hmm. Now, I gave y'all the run of show, so there's no surprises, but let's talk about it.
Okay.
Have gossip bloggers gone too far? Now, let's give some context. This past year, bloggers like Tasha K, The Shade Room, and Hollywood Unlocked have used their platforms to spread misinformation as facts. Most recently, Jason Lee threatened to release information on Beyonce if Kelly Rowland did not come on his platform. Hot take, have these bloggers taken it too far?
Sorry. Y'all can see Courtney in his face. Sorry. Courtney, I can start.
You want to start, Jasmine? Courtney gathers her face together.
Go ahead. Yes, absolutely. I think it's not just celebrities, but I think there's been this overwhelming sense of entitlement to a lot of people. Like, I think a lot of people feel entitled to information, or they feel entitled to kind of like hang things over people's heads. And I think that's very manipulative. And even down to Jason with that interview, like how sad, it's honestly very sad to me. Like, how sad is it that you don't have enough of a rapport to garner relationship building and relational equity to just invite me to your show, but you want to threaten me by using some information over my best friend or my like great friend for me to come on your show? I just think that there's this sense of entitlement, and there's this sense of like, well, you owe it to us, and you owe what? Like, no one owes you anything. And I don't know the premise of why he did what he did, but I do think that a lot of these publications and media outlets are forgetting kind of like who you are, in a sense. Like, and I think some of that gets magnified when you have people who are fans who also feel entitled. I think there's just a sense of entitlement that I'm not really sure where it stemmed from, but you don't get to dictate and manipulate me into an interview. You don't get to dictate and manipulate me and my information and my livelihood because of what you want. Like, who are you? You know what I mean? And I hate that. I think it's very icky. And I think good people who run good business don't have to do that. If you are credited for being a good person and have good quality character, your character will put you in rooms. Your name goes before you because of who you are and the relational equity you have with other people. So I feel like you don't need to be messy to get business. You don't need to be messy to have an interview. You don't need to be messy and be mean and be like that. And I think it's sad. And I feel like now you have the interview with Kelly, and what, the interview is not even going to be that decent. I mean, she's professional, so she's going to show up, but the quality of conversation isn't going to be there. It's not going to be like a top tier quality conversation because she's gotten there because you had to force her there, and no one should be forced into doing anything, let alone an interview with Jason. Like, I don't know. I just do not like that. It gives me the ick. It gives me very much ick.
So to give us some context though, Jasmine and Courtney, Jason Lee apparently did that because he accused Beyonce of not having enough Black media at her Renaissance tour. I followed the coverage of the tour very closely. If you guys want to, there are TikToks about the marketing magic of Beyonce's Renaissance on my Instagram.
I'm watching them.
Thank you, Boo. So I don't understand fully where he's coming from with that, because someone like Jason Lee, I don't view him as a journalist. I view him as an opportunist. And when you have someone like that, you don't want them to have access to your inner circle, because they're going to take that information to use it against you. Also, secondly, Miss Kelly Rowland, the chocolate Barbie herself, she ain't going to reply to your requests or your texts or your threats of defamation of character. They're probably just going to hit you with a cease and desist, which I would do anyway. Because what you're not going to do is try to force me to come on your little messy platform. First of all, I'm not going on the same platform you have Blueface and Krishan on. That is not a platform.
I mean, the quality and caliber of guests.
Like, I'm not coming on there to talk about my life with you, because you're not going to ask me real questions that like a Gail or Oprah that would, or even like a Nina Parker, who is a journalist, would ask me on their platform. That's my take on it. Courtney, what's your perspective?
Can we just get to the net? The net is this: The net is this. And this is coming from someone who graduated from the illustrious North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University as a journalism and mass comms major. Will the real journalists please stand up? Please. Because what you do, Jason Lee, I'm speaking to you directly, is not journalism in the least bit. And it's insulting for you to even try to insinuate that the mess that you stir on Instagram and YouTube is anywhere close to any sort of remnant of any sort of media outlet. And yes, I'm using quotes, media outlet. First and foremost, the first class that you took in any sort of journalism program is around media law and understanding slander, libel, defamation, all of these things, because they are highly important to you and the sources that you work for to make sure that you all maintain a certain level of reputation and credibility, and you have zero. Please be so for real right now. Secondly, you have to know your market, okay? You, my love, you are not Gail. You are not Oprah. And as much as we can't even stand her, baby, you are not even Wendy Williams. Please understand. Please understand that y'all are not in the same orbit as a Miss Kelly Rowland. Be for real. Please be all the way, be for real. And then you will stop getting your feelings hurt when you start matching your guests to your market. Kelly will never sit down with you. Because what reason? What is there to gain? You gonna eat off of her. There's nothing for her to gain from being on your platform. You need her. And then to threaten to leak information about Beyonce, I'm sorry. Have you not learned anything from Carrie Hilson? Is that what you want for yourself? It's very simple. These two things are not alike. You, Kelly Rowland, not alike. No. Hollywood Unlocked, reputable media outlet, not alike.
So. Well, Courtney cleared on that one.
she's giving very much 4+4.
She equal. She ate. You see what we did there? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so I know that I'm going to ruffle a little feathers with this one, but we got to talk about Shein.
I'm sorry, we gotta talk about Shein.
Please understand, it's big Shein, okay?
I have no problem talking about it. I stopped shopping there.
Yeah. Okay, so discount retailer Temu, Shein's little sister, claims Shein is threatening their vendors with mafia-style intimidation to halt their growth in U.S. markets. Apparently, this is a new lawsuit. Another one was filed in October, for context, that was dropped against each other for violating copyrights and antitrust laws. Mm. In addition to the RICO charges Shein currently has against them, do you think people will stop supporting Shein?
No.
Go ahead, Courtney. You got first.
They are not. I'm sorry. Shein makes the baddie world go round. They are not going to stop. They're not going to stop supporting Shein. The same way, like Chipotle, when they was having all the meat issues and people were still in line, what that meat got to do with my meat? It's the same way the girlies is about Shein. It has to be something disastrous, like maybe if there was like child labor or something like that, and people would be like,
weren't they accusing that too?
Well, oh, never mind.
Okay,
go ahead.
You know what? Then I take that back. I retract that. The answer is no. I think people are going to be rocking with Shein until the wheels fall off, quite literally.
Or at least their shirt falls apart, which is soon after they purchase something.
And there it is.
Jasmine, what's your take?
Yeah, no, I think they're I know people are not going to stop shopping them. I have friends, I've literally stopped shopping Shein once I learned about the RICO charges. And I have friends who's like, yeah, okay, well, whatever. And I think, I don't want to get too deep, but I think the reality is that fast fashion, and because it's so cheap and it's so cheaply made, people care more about the looks and the fits and their own like satisfaction versus taking a stance on something that is for the greater good. I mean, same thing, like I'm not shopping at Starbucks right now. Like there are certain things that I personally just won't allow myself to indulge in for my own personal gain, because I really want to stand in solidarity with other organizations and other and bigger issues. So I think a lot of us who want to look good and we want cute, fast outfits, and I understand, like it reaches a span of people who can fit all sizes. I was a deep Shein girl. I was deep in my Shein bag. I had the grandma peppermints, okay? I was deep in the bag. But at some point, one, I think people don't want to give up their own self, their own desires to take a stance. And then I think two, I think it's one of those things, like, because they're such a big name now and because they blew up so big, especially during the pandemic, that their solidarity and their loyalty runs deeper than a Temu. Now, Temu and Shein, like, they are known for ripping off designers. Like, they are, like, we can see that. There are reports about how they have stolen the ideas of other creatives and other designers. So nothing is new under the sun. And I think the same way Amazon, like, the way we shop Amazon, people are going to shop Shein. So, no, people are not going to stop shopping. I think it's unfortunate. I also just feel like, I don't want my name popping up in nobody's Rico case, so I took my name off the list. But we're selfish and we want to look good, and I get it. It's a price point. I also think a lot of people, like you said, like the clothes are so cheaply made that I don't think people are consciously shopping anymore. I think there's a lot of us that are just shopping, and it's easy to hit a button and get your clothes within 3 to 5 days. But I'm becoming much more conscious about my shopping, and I would rather invest in quality versus quantity. And I don't want to support the fast fashion brands as much. I don't want piles and piles of piles messing up our ecosystem and our environment and our planet. So, like, I know that's not part of the full answer, but yeah, I think when you say no to brands like a Shein, you're saying yes to other things. And a lot of people just don't want to say yes to this stuff because it's so easy to say yes to Shein. And I don't think they're going to stop shopping them at all.
Now, to spin off of that, because I do agree with you, there is an issue when it comes to fast fashion and sustainability, because as you know, it's become a big problem in our ecosystem, these fast fashion clothes. And Louis Vuitton, Moët Hennessy, and Chanel just announced a partnership about sustainability of repurposing their leathers and other fabrics into new products, which is kind of a spinoff of Coachtopia, but I'm not going to dive too much into that. But you have a point, but it also links into the fact that we are in a content consumerism cycle.
I was just right to say the exact thing. Yeah.
And I think I just coined that term, so please give me credit if I'm correct, but content consumerism, dealing with the fact that people need to show something new on their platforms to stay relevant. Yeah. It's not about showing how to repurpose your wardrobe or build a strong wardrobe. It's about showing the newest outfit that you have to seem relevant for people to keep clicking and go to your pages. For example, I know we love the Clock app, but TikTok has been pushing these TikTok shops. If I see that little stepper one more time,
okay.
I mean, I don't want the stepper.
I mean, sorry to cut you off, but you're right. And as a content creator, like I'll be really transparent. I think I was wrestling for a large part of this year around how I wanted to continue creating content around fashion. Because there is a part of me that's like, okay, well, people do want to see the newest things. What's ahead? You want, like, I'm already thinking about spring and summer stuff, as many fashion people are. Like, we're already thinking so forward. And it's like, one, if I continuously shop, I always have an active available link. So that way people aren't in the comments like, oh, well, I don't have the link anymore. And so I really wrestled and I really, really tussled with this concept of always needing to buy things when I have clothes. I mean, I have clothes everywhere in my house. Like, I'm literally about to spend this whole week decluttering and getting rid of things. And it's just like, but I think it helps you, it challenges you as a content creator and as an influencer. For one, if your audience is only interested in the new, I don't think your audience is deeply invested in you as a person. And I say that because I should be able to come on and create looks from the clothes I have or the clothes I buy solely off of me and my body type and what I'm styling. If you're coming to my page to see how I style something, it shouldn't matter if it's new or not. You should be able, you as the creator should be able to create content with the end goal of, I want my person to be able to shop their own clothes And I want them to be able to pull whatever they have. Because let's be honest, we're in inflation. We're in an inflated economy. I don't feel comfortable having people shop links all the time. If I know my budget tight, then your budget tight. Like, there's consciousness around that. And so I think, to your point, I, as a content creator, have been very, very mindful. Okay, I will still shop some things, but for the most part, I'm going to learn how to recycle my own closet. That way I can teach someone else how to shop your own closet, because you don't need everything and you don't need to list everything. And then you look around and you can't even walk through your home because you got clothes everywhere. And so I think you bring up a really good point that content creator consumerism is very real. The brands want it, people push for it. And there's an entire sector of TikTok and other apps of de-influencing. And I found myself on that side of TikTok and I was like, yeah, okay, there's some changes that we have to make, because I don't feel I have good conscience making everyone shop new or shop often. Where that's why I'm now, most of my brand partnerships are with quality brands who are, they might be a little more pricey, but I know I can get 10, 12, 15, 20 uses out of them versus a Shein sweater for $2.99. Ain't no sweater should be $2.99 at a thrift store. Like, that's crazy.
Right. But you know what? I think more people often than not appreciate a content creator with that mindset, right? Because I think that shows not just creating for the sake of creating and getting content out and trying to get something that's going to go viral, but you're also creating with being conscious of like your community, and you're creating with them in mind, in the sense of like, I understand the power that I hold as a quote unquote influencer. So I'm pushing things that brands, not only the one do I stand by, but brands that should you choose to make the investment off of my, you know, review or my haul or whatever, and you're putting your faith in me that this is as good of a product as I'm promoting it to be, that you are then also knowing, because of the type of content that you're creating, that you're going to be able to get multiple wears out of this thing. This is a piece that's going to last you multiple seasons. Like, I think that right there is like what, when we think about like what kind of like differentiates somebody from like a content creator versus an influencer, like an influencer in the true sense of influencing, that's the differentiation right there. And I think I appreciate the fact that there are more girls like yourself in this space who are doing that. Like, I think about you, obviously, but I also think about people like on a more luxury end, like Janae Naylor, who is always, you know, when she's creating these really dope looks, she's like, you've seen these pants 50 million times because I'm obsessed with them. And she's always constantly talking about when she is shopping, like cost per wear and her decision-making that goes in before she like gets a piece. And then she talks about when she's like decluttering her closet and getting rid of things, or she talks about when she bought something on an impulse and has yet to wear the bag and it still has a tag. So I'm going to consign it, or, you know, get something else, like whatever. And I appreciate that transparency versus just like consumption all the time, which then makes you feel like you have to buy, you have to have the latest. People don't repeat their outfits, which is a lie, you know?
And I'll say this will be my last statement on this, but I think that the fact that as marketers, right, like we know how to market off of fear. And I think as marketers, being that I'm a marketer and I'm a content creator, I've been able to see a lot. I see it from a lot of different lenses. And I think marketers, I'll say this. I think anyone who's a marketer can market off a fear tactic. I think it takes a very strategic, a very intentional, and a very forward-thinking marketer to market off of the value versus the fear. And if you can market off of the value of a product, a place, a thing, a person, whatever, Beyonce is a perfect example of that. If you can market off of the value of the thing, or the value of you as a person as you're creating content for your audience, versus the fear of missing out, or the, oh, this is the newest thing, you don't miss out, like this is viral, this is a must-have. It's not a must-have. And I think we as marketers have to be able to just not lean into marketing or creating content from a don't miss out or FOMO mindset, versus I know I deeply care about this and I want to intentionally help you see why you should care about this. And if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. And the fear is, well, I might lose an audience, but then that also makes room for the people that you're supposed to be attracting. And I think if you lean into the fear tactics, that is a lazy marketer. And yep. I think
Can I say something, Jasmine? Can I say something? But those aren't marketers, though, who operate off of fear. Because real marketers are strategic. They know how to talk to their audience authentically, in my opinion. They know how to talk to their audience authentically. And they know how to diversify their content to make it relatable no matter what they're talking about.
Yeah. I agree with
that. Like,
go ahead, I will say, I don't think that makes them not marketers. I think they're just not mature in marketing. Like, I think when you look at... marketing, right? Like back in college when we say there are like four different placements. There's the four different things we talk about. You got the fear, like don't miss out, last chance sale. Like you have certain marketing terms and terminology. So I don't think, at least I don't necessarily see it as like they're not marketers. I just think that there's a maturity. I think that happens when you can, if you just always settle on a don't miss out, don't last chance, last call. And then you're able to mature into a level of like, I'm strategically knowing what words I want to say to draw you in. And to build the relationship and have that equity build. Like, I don't necessarily think it's not a marketer, but I do think that there's a maturing in the marketer and in the marketing strategy.
Maybe it's not even that they're not mature. Maybe it's that they haven't taken the time to build out that relationship and understanding their audience and build out a proper brand story. Because if when you building a brand and you don't have any sort of like foundation or anything you really stand on, anything to say, you haven't really connected with that audience that you're trying to get into, you're just trying to make the money. Yeah, it's easy to revert back to lean into don't miss out, last chance, those redundant sort of things versus the brands who are actually invested in a brand story, a community, who they are, their core, they've taken the time to think about their vision, their core pillars, like all of those things.
I 1,000% agree. And I know I said this will be my last thing about this, but I think that brings up a really, really, really important point about influencer marketing. Because I think the reality is that majority of these huge TikTok, huge Instagram influencers, and I always have a gripe with this, and I think I talk about this with y'all all the time, but like, I have a real issue sometimes when, as a marketer, a studied, trained, like I study this, I got a degree in all of it, I got receipts for this. When you see people who enjoy content creating, they were never in the goal of being an influencer, they didn't, like that, those people who go from that sector into the influencer marketing space is exactly that. Like, you don't know how to build a brand store. You don't know how to do any of these things because this is not even what you learned. You just happen to pop on a camera and you built this audience and this following. And so that I find a lot of tension with influencer marketing from people who just genuinely did it out of just like pure enjoyment. And now they're like thrust into this influencer world. And those who study and understand marketing, because they're doing things based off of like good intentions and strategy. And that road is a longer, narrow path. And then you have people who kind of hop on and things go viral overnight. And now they're experts. And I'm like,
are you though? Can I? Okay. I want to add to this point, Jasmine. So that's why I call them not marketers, because marketers play the long game, right? Mm-hmm. Our job is to be storytellers, mm-hmm. and we know how to tell a story from the intro all the way to the little biography at the end. We're storytellers. They know how to write maybe a sentence or two in a chapter book and then add pictures for the rest of it for context. And the way that I view it is these influencer marketers also get stuck in the same space because they don't know how to build a real audience. Mm. So if you are pushing Amazon finds all the time, that's all you're going to keep pushing because you don't know how to pivot to talk about anything else. You, Jasmine, have managed to build your YouTube channel. You also talk about beauty. You also talk about style. You talk about your lifestyle. It is multi-channel, multifaceted content. You're a storyteller. Mm. Courtney, strategic creative, shows us behind the scenes of her life every now and then, gives us a badass picture with some good lighting. Like, she knows how to tell a story through visuals. Me, for some reason, people like me on camera. I don't know what it is about me, but they like me on camera. I do marketing magic. I do, you know, my video content when I'm introducing the episode. Sometimes I throw a little style in there for some razzle dazzle, and sometimes you get a recap of what I did over the weekend. But we are storytellers who have built authentic audiences. When you lean only on one thing, your tower is eventually going to tumble because you don't have no support and foundation.
And that's that on that.
And that's that on that. Okay. Let's go to our next topic. I hope y'all are warmed up because this one, this, ooh,
it's okay. A doozy, honey.
This one is real spicy, and I am ready.
I'm ready.
I really did, y'all, debate including this because I had to think about it from a creative standpoint. I was like, okay, how does this relate to creativity? They have to remember who we're talking about because before the allegations, let's backtrack that up. We knew this person was a while back, but before these allegations, this person was integral in the hip hop space, in the music space, but also in the creativity space. So we gotta talk about them. All right, let's get into this while Jasmine eats her fries. All right, let's talk about Diddy. So in the past month,
listen.
So let her get the question out. She had to get the question out.
No, I just had to be clear. It ain't no Mo Diddy. It's Sean, just like we talk about Robert.
Mr. Combs.
Sean.
Legally Mr. Combs. She's giving the trial to the court case. Mr. Combs. Mr. Sean Diddy, plead Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy Daddy, Diddy Daddy, Daddy Daddy, Combs. Understood. Got it. Okay. Understood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Okay. In the past month, Diddy, Sean, whomever we want to call him, was exposed in a very graphic lawsuit. I read them pages. Mm-hmm. I did. By ex-Cassie. He was dropped by Macy's. He was asked to step down from Revolt. Mm-hmm. And now Hulu has dropped his family-centered reality show. Mm. Knowing what we know, do you think Diddy will truly get canceled? Or will we be debating this topic like R. Kelly, Cosby, Trey Songz, and others? Courtney, you got up first. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. Here's what I will say about Sean. What your mama called you? Sean.
His mama named Clay. I'm a call him Clay.
Claiming.
The reality is he should be canceled, point blank period. But the reality of the situation is likely not, or not in the way that we think he should be. Because unfortunately, what plagues us in our community, and this is whether the person is famous or the somebody who's your uncle or your auntie or whoever who do some trifling things, it's always interesting to me how the narrative then suddenly flips and now we have to come together as a community to protect our men.
This is spicy. Okay. All right.
And I feel like we live in a world, we live in a reality with everybody else here where two things can exist.
Yeah.
You can be trash and your music could have been bumping, but that doesn't negate from you being trash. I don't want to hear the, yes, he's trash, but.
Not too much.
No. So I think the thing for me that kind of already had me like, I know where I stand with this situation. And I think the thing that I found most interesting about this situation is that when these allegations came out, and as it started to play out in the media, and then
your
documents came out and people had a chance to read, I find it very interesting.
That's a glasses adjustment.
I find it very interesting that no one stepped out to speak on his behalf.
Damn right.
Ain't marry your sister.
Listen, quiet. It was a cricket, I think.
Crickets.
And Kim family.
Child, they know that man did it. They know that man did it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, whatever. Sean, where your family at?
OJ did it. I'm sorry.
It was quiet. It was crickets. Nobody could be found, which to me tells me a couple of things. It tells me, one, y'all knew.
Yeah.
Two, y'all might have even been there to witness it, the foolishness, and you don't want no parts of that. Or three, you knew you were there. You might not have been in the foolishness, but you definitely didn't do anything to stop it.
You were adjacent to the foolishness.
Hello? So that told me everything that I needed to know. And shout out to Cassie. And shout out to Cassie's legal team, because that is a smart woman. She was very clear and intentional with not only when she filed, but where she filed and how she filed. Very clear, very intentional. Cassie was playing chess.
Not checkers.
Not checkers, because it sent a direct message to Mr. Sean that she is not the one to be fucked with. Okay? So,
okay. Now, look, Courtney, I'm gonna piggyback on you. Give me the baton. I'm gonna bring this around the track and field. Thank you. Okay, first of all, let's address this. Hip hop culture in itself, along with the Black community, I'm just gonna call a spade, is very misogynistic or male-centered, right? We will make excuses all day long for that trash ass uncle and the Diddy's of the world and the R. Kelly's of the world because of what they did to uplift the Black community. It doesn't matter that he was allegedly smacking Cassie around, allegedly smacking Kim around, allegedly smacking around members of Danny Kane, because I heard that too as well. It doesn't matter that he was doing all these things because of what he did for the community, because of his billionaire status. I am done with men and people in general in our community who use money to leverage their bad behavior, who use money to manipulate, who use money to create situations of power where they know that they are wrong, but because of the checks that they can write and the influence that they can wield, are mentally and physically abusing people for their benefit. Let's also call a spade. Why was Diddy's grown behind at 37 trying to date somebody who was barely 18 years old as his girlfriend? Can we talk about that? Can we talk about how she did not, according to the lawsuit, want him anyway, and he forced himself on her? Can we talk about how he manipulated her into multiple situations to get her by herself? Can we also talk about that too? Or are we going to just leave that part out as well? Because Diddy's been a creep for years, and he's been repeating the same behavior, because now he's doing it with a city girl. And we all seeing that playing out in real time as well. People like Diddy in the community will never fully fall, because there are going to be toxic people to excuse him and lift him up. There's still folks stepping his name in love at them cookouts this past summer. They're going to be doing it at the reunions and also other weddings. I guarantee you, if Bad Boys for Life came on, everybody going to start Diddy bopping and forget, oh, it's just the music, this and the other. Y'all the same folks who make excuses when your child come to you and say, uncle looked at me wrong or said something that made me uncomfortable, and you call that little girl fast tail, or there's something wrong with her that she had a reason why something happened to her. So if y'all want to continue to make excuses for the Diddy's of the world, y'all also need to look into your own families and stop allowing this misogyny to continue, because we ain't never going to heal. We always going to be in our color purple if y'all don't really move forward. And I am done. Go ahead, Jasmine.
She just emptied the clip.
I mean, what else? What else is there really to say?
Oh, here's a baton. Right.
I was so deep into the TikTok deep rabbit hole of that for that 48 hour period, because the fact that thing was filed, the quickness to which that all happened took me out. I've never seen it in 24 hours.
The lawyers ain't either.
But you know what that tells me? That was just only scratching the surface. You don't want that to go to court because now you open yourself up to discovery. Oh, 1,000%.
And I mean,
okay.
While there were a lot of people who didn't say a lot of things, but there was also a lot of things that came out in addition to, in other names were dropped around that situation. It is so unfortunate because her entire life got upended off of this one man's vile and very sick and very twisted behavior. Like, for her to still be an addict, like, he completely ruined her life. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other people's lives he's ruined. And they all have to just be bodies that he's numbered. It's really unfortunate. Y'all really nailed it as far as like, what could I possibly add to the conversation? I don't think it'll really be canceled. I think, like you mentioned, we live in a world where broken people break people, and we live in a world where money typically runs and power, money and power go further than the truth will. And it's really unfortunate. I think he will never be canceled because there's so many people who won't speak out. That's in his camp, and he has paid off, and he's made a lot of people's lives comfortable to be okay to deal with him. And there's a lot of people on the other end who want to advocate, who want to call out, who want to name it, who have no problem. And they run the risk of being their names being sludged through the mud. And so it's almost like you damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Do I take the L's and advocate and fight for justice and do what's right? Or do I take the dub, like, or I win and I just shut my mouth and live my life and my bills are paid and I'm peaceful and I'm not even in the issues, even though you are part of the problem. So that's a hard decision to make for anybody that, for someone, there's a dollar amount, you know, there's a right number that you can pay me off and I'll shut up. So I think when you have that mentality and you are being paid for your silence, you are completely provoking the problem. And you have to go to bed every night knowing that I'm consciously choosing to ruin people's lives. Now, if you can go to sleep at night, okay. So yeah, I don't think he'll ever truly be canceled. I think a lot of that, like with the industry that he's in, like you said, Yvonne, misogyny plays a huge role in that. And I mean, Carisha been mute since she had her sign up at the award show. And I was like, girl, I just don't even know what the hell you got going on. But yeah, it's really unfortunate. It's sad that we're watching it unfold. I'm happy for Cassie. I'm really proud of her. That takes a lot of courage to wait this long and follow the law that allowed you to file the way you filed. And there's never a dollar amount that's going to give her peace of mind again, which is unfortunate. But I am glad that she got some level of justice.
Yes, and we hope that Kim Porter continues to haunt Diddy in his sleep. Okay.
Now listen, that TikTok rabbit hole had me when I tell you deep about the Kim Porter. I said, "Oh, this is
the math is allegedly math.
It's adding up to
yeah. Oh boy.
Can I just say something?
Go ahead, Courtney.
Can I just say something? Because I understand that this is a very like touchy like subject matter and everything like that. So on a like serious note, I just pray for everybody's peace. Those people who have yet to stand up to whoever their accusers are and are contemplating it, those who have made the conscious choice to protect themselves and may never speak out, and those people who are in the process of filing and things like that, I just pray that whatever comes of it, that there's some peace on the other side of it for each and every person who's been affected in some way by this, whether it's a Diddy of the world or the creepy uncle or whoever type of thing, like some type of peace in their spirit and also strength for them to continue to like whatever they choose to do, whether they decide to speak or not, to just like carry on, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's something to note that healing comes in a variety of ways. And so I never want anyone to feel like if I didn't speak, like how you choose to heal and grieve and mourn and process is how you choose. And I don't think that's necessarily a right or wrong way. I think as someone that has never been in a situation like that, all I can do is genuinely like pray and intercede for people. But I believe that however you choose fit, like you said, to process and heal and deal with this trauma, that there is healing for you and that there is joy on the other side and joy is your portion and freedom is your portion and peace of mind is your portion. Like you are absolutely able to live a triumphant life in spite of trauma, no matter if you choose to advocate publicly or deal with it privately. Like that is your portion and you are absolutely entitled to that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when you tell your story, have the empathy from those who are receiving your story to hear you and not dismiss you.
Mm-hmm.
So for our next topic, we're going to talk about Kaylin Allen. Do you guys know who that is, Kaylin?
Yeah. So I feel
like he's a cute little skinny black boy with the glasses who He used to be on Ellen's show. Yes, love me some him. So recently, he tweeted about feeling exhausted after hustling all year and needing to take a break, but battling with the need to feel visible or always on. Mm. Do you think social media is contributing to the cycle of creative burnout?
I'm going to let Jasmine take that one.
I knew you were going to pass it to me.
Pass it. Here you go, girl. Take your baton.
Start us off.
Okay.
Start us off.
This is really actually very, very near and dear to my heart. I think yes and no. And I have a lot of thoughts that are running through my mind. So let me start by saying yes, and here's why. I think as a creative in the world that we live in, especially in specifically in the US, we operate on hustle culture, and we live and we eat and we breathe hustle culture. I think as someone that has been burnt out, that has experienced health issues because I was burned out and kind of hit my rock bottom in 2020, it had like a really big wake up call around why do I do what I do? What does that look like for me going forward? Social media is, I think, I think sometimes we always say social media is the problem, but I think it's a sliver and it's just a mirror to what the actual problem is. If social media, like we have these platforms at our disposal, but before social media platforms existed, we were still trying to keep up with the Joneses. Like social media, just, it to me is a very visual way of keeping up with the Joneses. So I don't think it's the tool itself that's the issue. I think it's the people that, the issue that you have really is, a lot of it's internal. And I say that because when I was burnt out and when I was trying to deal with, I just got to keep going. I got to keep going. I want to be consistent. Like we do things in the name of consistency. We do things in the name of hustle culture and we sleep when you die, which is actually wild because you don't sleep when you're dead. You're dead. You can't sleep, but okay. Like we have these sayings and we have this attitude around work and hustle and culture and content creation where, it is absolutely detrimental and it's absolutely a you thing. So I really do commend him for taking time to break. I've noticed a lot of people from a lot of different industries are going on sabbaticals. They're taking time to step away from businesses. They're taking time to step away from their world online and just be, people want to be present again. And I think it is a beautiful thing for you to have the courage and the faith and the wherewithal to say, I am not well, I'm going to step away and get well so that I can be better for not only myself, but for the people that I'm supposed to serve. Servanthood and servitude is not slavery. I'm not at the end. I'm not on the back end doing all that I do for my audience as a person that like you own me. You know what I mean? Like I'm here to serve and I'm here to show up for my audience because I care about them and I love them. And I'm sure he did too. But I can't do that well if I'm not well to myself. And I think a lot of creatives, and I think this like new wave of creative entrepreneurs and creative content creators and influencers are realizing you will burn out fast. Like slow and steady really does win the race. And I think when you go into whatever field you're going into, whether it's a full-time job in corporate, whether it's a hustle after hours, whether it's your own venture, if you go in with, I'm going to go into this giving myself 100% so that way I can give people my overflow. Like I don't do anything anymore out of my own capacity. Whenever I show up, it's because I'm giving you guys the overflow, meaning I'm so full. I'm so filled. I've slept 8 hours. I've done my morning routine. I've been in my word. I've like laughed with friends. I've kikied with my girls in my group chat. I've danced, I've walked my dog, like I'm so full. So now everyone else just gets the overflow of that. I think that is a special key that a lot of people aren't tapping into. Whether you're a believer or not, granted, y'all know I love Jesus, so it's really between, it's me and Jesus in this thing through and through. But I think you have to find ways to fill your cup and then you serve out of the overflow. Like I really want people to understand I don't serve at 100%. I give you guys the 101 and extra. And I think when you do get burnt out and when you do take breaks, you really get to assess what's valuable, like what's important, what matters. And I guarantee it's not these vanity metrics that matter. It's I have a peace of mind. I sleep well. I have family and friends that love me and I'm in good health. I have my right mind. Like I'm not thinking anxious thoughts. I have community online and in person. Like, when you begin to, when you're burnt out and you get to that place, you will realize how fast none of this actually matters. You will quickly realize what actually matters, and you're going to do everything you can to preserve the things that matter. And I think the only way you can really do that is when you recognize you have to fill your cup first and you only serve from the overflow. And when you get to a space and place where the numbers are off, rest is good. Like, rest is a right. Like, it's a privilege and an honor, and it's a gift to give rest. And I think we operate so much in this culture around hustle, 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 that we do not have enough examples from various industries, various influencers showing you what does it look like to live in a world that is so hustle, 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 but you, Courtney, you, Jasmine, you, Yvonne, like, you seem so peaceful. Like, how are you so calm? It's because I'm rested. Like, I prioritize my well-being. I prioritize my actual physical, my mental, my emotional, my spiritual rest. And I've seen it. I've lived it. I know what it's like to be burnt out, and I'm at my wit's end, and I'm texting Courtney crying. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't do it anymore. Like, y'all have seen my very, very ugly sides, and I've learned a lot in 2023. I cannot do anything. I don't do anything to get rest. I do everything from a place of rest. And that has completely changed my life. And I think as a creative and as a content person and as someone that really loves what I do, it's easy to pour so much out that you have to put boundaries in place where you're like, okay, no, I got to reel it back in. A good example of this, and I'll, pass to Courtney, is like for Vlogmas, right? I'm doing 25 days of videos every single day. And all I've been doing every day is editing, uploading, and I'm losing my freaking mind. But I know once I get through Vlogmas, after Christmas, I'm taking the whole week off into the new year. I'm not going to be vlogging. I'm not going to be posting. I'm going to slow down. I'm not going to be on socials. I'm going to, like, I build in rest so that way I'm never burning out. And I think that's so important. It is so critical. And the amount of stress that we put on ourselves, people don't even realize how it shows up in our bodies. People don't even realize how it shows up in the attitudes and how your conversations are, the quality of your conversations, the health of your family and your friends. Like, it shows up. And one thing for sure, if you don't learn how to rest, rest will make sure you sit down. If you don't learn how to sit down, life will make sure you know how to sit the hell down. So, yeah, I'll pass it. I can go ahead and pass because I can talk about this. I'm very passionate about this. Like, I'm very passionate about it. Yeah.
I think what I will say is I'm proud of creators that are now in this space of just like more transparency around mental health. I love when I see more creators that look like us talking about mental health. I love it even more when it's creators that look like us that are also Black men that are talking about mental health, because I think for a long time as a society, yes, rest was something that felt like it had to be earned. But I think even more so with us, if we are going to be like all the way real about it, hustle culture for us like takes on a new meaning, especially when we work in these industries where there aren't a lot of people that look like us. Right. And so it comes with this mindset of like, you have to be 2 times faster. You know, you have to be 2 times better. You have to, because you feel like you are now having to prove that you were worthwhile as a hire type of thing. Where I think I learned during my period of burnout that like, that was really just me, because I had already proved I was worth hiring because that's how I got the job. You know what I'm saying? So now just do my job, really. And I know that can be hard at times when you are in this space that feels like go, go, go. And especially when you're in this space as a content creator where it's about metrics and it's about impressions and it's about, growth year over year and audience, and you have this ad and you want, high conversion rate and all these other things. But I think what we fail to realize is that like it feels so important in that moment, but if something were to happen, these companies would move right along.
And they do.
And do. On to that person burns out and they're already thinking about the next roundup of it voices and how we can get in contact with them and push our product, period. So I think once you kind of like level with that and understand that and kind of take back some of your power in that, you move a little differently, you know? Like me, I burned out like a few years, like I burned out the year before the pandemic. And I was in this place where I was like working, go, 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 all the time, panic attacks, anxiety. I would literally be like physically sick on the train to work, vomiting, about to vomit as I'm going to the office. Because like Jasmine said, like when you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, your body, the universe, God, they will sit you right on down type of thing. And I kind of hit this wall or more so like I had this moment of clarity, because in the midst of all of that, my dad's mom passed away suddenly, just gone. Talked to her Thursday, she was gone Sunday in a blink of an eye. And I had to wrap my head around that plus grief. And I've had this conversation with Jasmine too. I know I'm kind of going on a bit of a tangent, but I've had this conversation with Jasmine too around work culture and the things in which where we're still behind. So when I think about work culture and where we're behind, I think about things like maternity leave, paternity leave. It's making good strides, but we still haven't found a place of resolution when it comes to like bereavement and grief. So
them 2 or 3 days is just not, that's a joke.
2 and 3 days. You have some companies where it's even based off of if you get it or not on who the person mm-hmm. is who died.
Yeah, if they're an immediate family member
or not, which I think is so restricting because family is different for everyone. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So that's either here nor there. But I think what I was getting at is that there was still that hustle culture in my mind because I only had X amount of days to like be home, be with my family, bury her, and then I was expected to like go right back to work. And I think the thing that struck me the most is I did go back to work and, you know, I was maintaining. I wasn't bringing any of my grief to work or anything like that. And yet I was still met with, and the exact quote was, I know your grandmother passed away, but I really need you to get your shit together. And this is like,
that doesn't shock me.
This is my first week back. And that's the
culture.
That's the message that was relayed to me. So with that, something went off and it made me realize like, yeah, you know what? No job, no title, no none of that is worth my peace. It's worth more than my peace. So I think you have to come to terms with finding your balance, because the internet will always be there. Social media, for better or for worse, will always be there, but you are not guaranteed to always be there if you are not taking care of yourself, if you're not taking care of your mind.
I'm going to relate this, and I know we always tie these things back to this topic, but have we ever been able to rest as a culture since we got here?
No,
because we've always been taught to work, to push through our grief, to push through our pain, to push through our exhaustion. We've never had the benefit, and I'm saying we, for those who haven't caught on, I'm talking about Black people. Black people have never had, and as a Black woman, I'll speak from this platform too, have never had the luxury of rest. We've always been taught that if we don't show up 10 and do what, twice as much? What did Papa Pope say? Twice as much?
It's only if you work twice as hard to get half as much.
Yeah, thank you, Jasmine. We've always been told to work twice as hard, to show that we are half as capable as those who live off of mediocrity. Now, that being said, even in our spaces of grief, because I, for example, when I went through a period of grief when one of my friends from high school passed away suddenly, I was back at work within the next Monday. I didn't even take a few days off. I took one day off to go to the funeral and was back at work on Monday. We have been trained in our mind to push through exhaustion. And I see it more so amongst Black content creators and creatives. I see it more so amongst us. If you saw the Renaissance movie, and I know we talk about Beyonce quite a few times, but we gonna speak on it.
I haven't seen it this week.
Ooh, okay, I won't spoil it for you. I saw it twice. Queen Mission during a movie that she worked for 44 days straight with no breaks. And she was clearly exhausted in that part of the movie, but she kept pushing forward because she had to show up. And for us creatives, Black creators, we feel an obligation of having to show up, because if we don't, we know we're going to disappear off of people's radar. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that need to always have to create, always have to do, always have to think, always have to move, always have to hustle. And then amongst our peers, be told you're not doing enough, especially LLC Twitter, which I hope they go away.
I don't even be
eventually
on that damn app.
I think LLC Twitter gets on my nerves, but I'm going to wrap it up with a big bow. But in terms of us looking at it from a cultural perspective, we cannot rest when we've never been gifted the act of rest, unless we give the act of rest in ourselves through our own personal activism. Mm. So that is my take on it. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Yeah. I think you hit something. I agree with that. I think it's, I think what you were saying about, like, collectively, no, we have any rest, especially the Black woman. I just feel like Black women take us a unique hold on the lack of rest maternally. Like, there's just so many things that we as Black women have to endure that our other counterparts just don't do. I think part of what helped me as far as like that freedom around being a Black content creator and having the need and the urge to just show up, because here's the thing, your metrics do dip. Like, if I take a break, I know my metrics are going to dip. I know that I might disappear. And I know I talk a lot from the lens of a believer, but I have to bring this example up. There was one time where I was like, okay, I'm seeing people who are behind me advance ahead of me. I'm showing up. And I haven't gotten anywhere. And you credit, you know, earlier in the bio, you credit, like, I just hit over 500 subscribers on YouTube. I've been on YouTube for 3 years. So I've seen people who started after me, completely surpass me. And I remember being so emotional, and I was just like, I just don't understand. I show up every day. I vlog, I post every week. I do all the things, and nothing's, and I had that feeling of like, I need to keep showing up no matter what. And in that burnout season, I really felt like the Lord was like, what would happen if you don't show up? And I remember having this list of like, I'm going to fall behind. I'm not going to get brand visibility. I might lose my chance on brand opportunities. And I showed up less on, I think, like Instagram and TikTok and stuff, but I ended up being on a brand partnership. I had to go to a brand event in Nashville. I ended up getting emails about future opportunities. So I think sometimes it's very, very important for the creator who has that mentality to just keep hustling and show up. I really believe that sometimes you can do a lot more with less. And I think we have to go against the culture, and we have to go very counterintuitive to say, I'm gonna take a break, I'm going to rest, I'm going to do this. And if that means I lose something, then it was never meant for me to have. If that means I lose the audience, then those people were not meant to stay with me on my journey. If I lose the brand deals, then those brands don't believe in me as a human and as a person. There will be other brands that will come. And I feel like we have to sometimes, again, it goes back to that fear tactic. Like, we have to reorient our minds and renew our minds that what is for you cannot miss you. Can't miss you because it's for you. And if you operate with that mentality of like, if I take a break, I take the break. The brands that are meant for me will find me. The audience that's meant to join me will join me. And I know that seems so much easier said than done, but it is really a rewiring of your mind and a real belief in your faith that you are qualified as you are in where you are for the day that you're in. And knowing that when I go tomorrow and I show up, if I show up at 50%, maybe 50% is the best I got for that day, but I'm going to show up with the 50%. I'm not going to strive for the 100 when I can only get 50. Maybe Tuesday I got 75, but the people, the brands, the opportunities, they will find you because they can't miss you if it's for you. And I just really had to rewire my brain, especially this year, because I was getting mentally like attacked around this content creation journey. And that really helped me free myself from the hamster wheel of content creation and the hamster wheel of wanting to feel like I always need to record something or always want to show up or always want to, whatever that thing is. I had to have enough faith that, no, Jasmine, you are good as is. Brands will find you as is. Your audience will meet you as is. And if you rest, they will live because you need to, like, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to name that, like, to your point, Yvonne, we do live in a world where that is a big part of our hustle. The algorithms do not favor women, especially Black women, and especially Black women who hate Black women, because we've seen that video go around. We know the algorithm is not, there are systematic things against us. But I also feel like I don't put my hope in the systems. I don't have my hope rest in those things. I know who I am and I show up online, and those who see it, see it. Those who get it, get it. And for the girls that don't. And that's a real rewiring of the mind, especially with content creation, especially in 2023. So I just wanted to like name that too.
Okay. I think that we have covered a lot on that topic, and I don't want us to go too much over time. So do y'all want to do one more topic, or do y'all want to do two more topics?
Girl, I'm off work. I can do whatever. I'm free.
We can do whatever.
This is your rodeo. I'm just here.
All right. So if we want to, we can do two more topics, and then we're going to close it out. Sound good?
Yeah, man.
Okay. All right. So fashion influencers have called out the industry for erasing plus-size bodies on the runway and pulling back expanded sizes in-store. Model and body-inclusive advocate Tabria Majors posted about the industry rebranding plus to mid-size and booking models that fit the aesthetic and skinny as the new curvy. Does she have a point about the industry? Jasmine, I'm going to start with you first.
Oh, I wasn't. Okay. you know, I think that's interesting because I did see, like, recently everyone was using, like, mid-size, and I've even started to use mid-size. I love Tabria Majors, and I think there's validity to her point. I personally haven't seen a lot of it. I don't know. I'm hard because I consider myself plus size, but I also am mid-size. Like, I've lost weight where I don't fit the plus size section anymore. I'm more mid-size now. So to me, I feel like I can still fit both and I can still cater to both audiences. But I can absolutely see how a brand would take that and manipulate it so that they can book smaller women in the name of being inclusive, leaving out an entire sector of women. I'm really conflicted because I haven't seen a lot of it, but even in my own experience and what I have seen, I think it's a slippery slope. Like, it's a scale, and in my mind, I'm just envisioning I was very much plus size, and I have lost a handful of weight, and so I don't fit this category anymore. So I look to women who now fit my new body, and I now create content for women who are currently in my size. So as you were reading that through, I'm thinking, man, am I part of the problem? Am I part of the solution? Because I fit both. So that's really tough. I don't know if I answered that, but I can see it being manipulated, but I'm hoping that.
You answered to the best of your ability. Courtney, do you want to take this one?
Absolutely. I see your point. Yeah, I absolutely agree with Tabria. And I think it's one of those things where it really is the same equivalent to like what we found when, you know, after George Floyd and everything like that, suddenly everybody was discovering Black brands and everybody was discovering Black people. And we're like, oh my God, you guys are, you know, cool and innovative and you all have products, like that type of thing. So I think there was a huge call to action for more inclusivity. Inclusivity is a really buzzy word and everything like that. So everybody was trying to be on the right side of history, whether it's that, whether that's through plus size fashion. And I would say, yes, after that moment happened and everybody got their gold star, yeah, people backtracked, people backpedaled, And now we're seeing more of the same old, what we were seeing beforehand on the runway. Especially these past seasons, there's been a huge decline in plus size models and plus size model representation in ads, on the runway, you know, in social media campaigns. And it's unfortunate, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, if you're going to stand on something, stand on it all the time, not when it's convenient for you, not when you're trying to appeal to kind of bolster your dollars, mean it. You know, if you want to get behind us and you want to be inclusive, that's a 24-hour, 365 job. This is not, you know, inclusivity for the sake of because it's June and now you want to put a rainbow on everything. This is not inclusivity for the sake of, all right, it's Feb, everybody put the fists and the afros, let's have a jolly good time. Or
using that same Canva template they've been using for the past 5 years.
Or using inclusivity for the sake of Juneteenth, which isn't even about consumerism. so now you turned it and made it into something. So I think for us, it is up to us as plus size consumers to continuously be on these brands' neck about it and hit them where it hurts, which is their pockets, because we hold the power, because they understand that this consumer is far more vocal, way more digitally savvy than we've ever been. The reins are in our hands to be like, ah!
I have a quick question about this. So as someone that, because I think a lot of, and I include myself in this, I think a lot of us love to be like, oh, we love fashion, which we do. Like, we like to look good. I don't think I would categorize me or other people that are like me as like, I know the fashion industry. I just like cute clothes and I like to look good. So I'm wondering, are there ways that if you are plus size, if you are mid size and you do want to do more fashion content or you do want to be more involved in fashion, what should we look out for so we know, okay, this brand is low-key whitewashing this and they're taking more, you know what I mean? Like, are there just like simple things that people can keep an eye out for?
Yeah,
it's their advertising.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is their advertising. I think a lot of it is looking at who they do and don't partner with. I think, you know, social media, for better or for worse, has become like a huge resource of information and people passing along like, here are the brands that you should stay away from, yada, yada, yada. So even going down some of those rabbit holes. And I think it's also about supporting, if we're going to bring it back full circle and talking about influencers, supporting those influencers who are in that space, who that is their platform, that is the work that they do, that is how they advocate, and supporting them and their platforms and, you know, watching their videos, interacting, like, those sort of things, because they're the ones who are really for real, like doing the work to kind of like bring some accountability in the space, you know?
Yeah, that's helpful. I'm just, because I think too, like, I don't always, like, I'm thinking about all the ads that I see. Those ads are catered towards me. So now if I'm getting targeted ads that of women who look like me, like, I'm just like, there's going to always be a disconnect, I know, but I'm just wondering how more people who call themselves fashion girls but really just like to look cute, like, you know what I mean?
So I'm going to give my two cents on this one, and I'm just going to say it. One of my favorite brands, since they've been sold more than once, have now started to implement these tactics in their advertising.
Not us knowing exactly who you talking about, because I know who you be tagging.
Do I know the brand?
Courtney's topic. You know.
I'm sorry. Do I know the brand?
You know the brand. They have started implementing these tactics in their advertising that are exclusive to curvy bodies. And I've noticed their advertising has changed since the brand has changed hands multiple times, along with the drop in their quality. It just made me realize that, to your point, Jasmine, the advertising matters when you're talking about you're a size inclusive brand. I can't trust that your jeans are going to stretch and fit over my booty and hips if you're using a model who's 5'12", who is a size air quote 10, but her body is not reflective of the body inclusivity that you are claiming to promote. Number two, there are brands out there who are doing the work, like Universal Standard, who shows us a wide variety of sizes and body types. However, to call a spade, people are fat phobic when it comes to advertising practices. They want to know that you carry expanded sizes, but they don't want to see that body. Okay, and then point three, I think this selective outrage when it comes to folks like who had the whole, you know, thing behind George Floyd, you know, everybody wanted to have their black squares. Everybody wanted to, like Courtney's point, discover black businesses. At the same time, they also discovered that curvy bodies existed on a larger scale and wanted to include them on their runways. Now, giving credit to folks like Christian Siriano, Christian has been with the girls for forever and has always been dressing us, including Danielle Brooks, when designers did not want to dress her because her body was not considered the type that they wanted to feature. So I think that this is just a ripple effect with everything else, like with DEIR almost be considered a cuss word in a lot of spaces now, with the idea of inclusivity being whitewashed and pushed away from curriculums and trying to change things. It's the backlash of these activisms, and this activism stance that we all took as a collective, we're now being punished for it in different ways. So that is my take.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Our last topic, y'all, and we're going to close it out. Have y'all seen Leave the World Behind on Netflix yet?
Not yet.
I'm not going to ask us to dive into the movie, but in 2023, I want you to think about, what are you leaving behind in 2023?
Go ahead, Yvonne, you can start.
Oh, okay, wow.
She wanted on her.
In 2023, I am leaving behind the idea of perfectionism. Mm.
Ooh.
And just showing up as my authentic self. If I mess up, it's fine. If I don't look perfect on camera, it's fine. I'm still going to hit record. I'm just going to keep showing up as me, because clearly it's paying off. The numbers don't lie. Yes, I did, Jasmine. I did. Courtney, I'm going to piggyback to you because your face has been sending me this entire recording.
I don't know if it's so much as like what it is that I'm giving up, and more so what I'm going to be continuing in 2023. I know that's not the question at all, but I think I've done a lot of the purging just all throughout the year versus now it's like December and everybody's trying to, like, you know, recalibrate and everything like that. I've just been continuously checking in with myself consistently and pivoting and purging all throughout the year. So I'm not in that place of thinking about what I'm giving up moving into 2024, more so like what I'm looking to continue. And for me, I think that's really just standing on business in every sense of the word, whether that's from a professional standpoint and standing on business in regards to my boundaries and how I talk to myself at work when I'm finding these moments of high stress. And when I'm reminding myself that, like, they need me more than I need them in that sense, whether that's in, like, my, you know, business growth as a businesswoman and, like, getting out of this mindset of talking about or using verbiage around what I'm trying to do, what I'm working to do, and just speaking on that thing as if it's already done. And for what it is, you know, and not playing small about the things that I am accomplishing and really kind of like living for the small victories, because they all are leading up to that larger thing, that bigger goal. And I think kind of getting out of my head of that hustle culture thing of like the next thing, the next move. And then I think just standing on business in regards to like myself as a person and the woman that I'm becoming in my 30s, you know, who she is, how she shows up in the world, all of those things, and like what that means to me, and like standing beside that.
That was really beautiful.
That was so good.
That was so nice. Oh my goodness. I got like a thug tear in the corner or whatever. Oh,
did you fill your cup again with that Bailey?
Okay, because we can't see it on the camera, so she might have had about two, three.
No, I have not left this spot since we hit record. Okay, give me some credit. Pudding Pop, I'm sorry, Jasmine.
No, you.
What are you Pudding Pop. Okay, what are you leaving behind in 2023?
Ooh, child, the ghetto. No,
the ghetto.
White.
The ghetto. I was gonna say it, Courtney. I was gonna say it.
It was her face. She was like, ah.
She was so.
Is that a white refrigerator?
Let's get in the car and get you a refrigerator, honey.
This was like, I have never seen this in my whole life. What am I leaving behind? Wow, this is such a good question. Okay, initial thought, because I am going to take the next 2 weeks, like, you know, I go deep, so I'm going to be doing all my deep thinking in the next couple weeks, but I think 2023 showed me a new and a deeper level of like resilience that I carried a lot this year, and I'm really proud of myself for surviving this year in a lot of ways.
I'm a survivor. I'm not, so it was just right there. I'm not gonna stop. What? I'm gonna work. Go ahead, Jasmine. I'm sorry.
Oh, not Michelle.
Oh, not Michelle.
I know I'm Kelly, so I ain't got no worries. I'm cool. No, but really, I really am proud of myself, and I think I don't give myself a lot of credit for how I handle things and like the weight of the things that I carry. And so I think this year I really want to leave self-doubt behind. I think I'm really fortunate where a lot of my friends, y'all hype me up, and y'all really be like, y'all are my biggest cheerleaders, and I tend to shy away from things that are off, that are not obviously, but things that are true. And I really want to lean more into like standing on that. Like, I am a great content creator. I am an influencer. I am a hard worker. I am a strategist. I like all these things that I am. If you normally ask me, I'm like, no, I don't like that. I don't like it. But I think, while there's a part of me that likes to not be, like, I want to be a humble and and walk in humility, there's also a fine line between that and just, like, blatantly disregarding the gifts and talents that God has given you. And I really want to not do that anymore. So I think I'm giving up, or I'm leaving behind self-doubt. And just, like, if you the shit, girl, be the shit. Like, I just, you know what I mean? And carry that confidence. Not in an arrogant way, but really knowing like who I am and whose I am and who I belong to, and like the things that I'm juggling, like only Jasmine can juggle it, which means I have a very unique perspective and assignment, and I just want to lean into that more and more boldly. So I think, yeah, I'm going to leave self-doubt behind in 2024.
And that is the perfect way of closing this special group chat episode. If you the shit, then you the shit. Thank you guys so much for joining me for coffee today with a little sprinkle of some razzle dazzle in our cups.
Bailey's, please sponsor her. Please sponsor her, Bailey's.
Bailey's, Bacardi.
The people find out more about y'all and your platform. Jasmine, since you have 500 subscribers, go ahead and tell the people how they can find you.
Okay.
Call it up for our girl and our 500 hard-earned subscribers.
Yes, okay. Hard-earned. Yes, you guys can follow me on YouTube at Jasmine Katrina. And I am across all of my social handles at J Katrina Smith. Follow me, hang out with me. I'm a good time. And yeah, it'll be fun.
Yay! And then Courtney, keep a job, Pope.
That's cool words I've never been spoken.
Me and Kiki, we right up there.
That's right.
Follow me on socials at Editress in Chic. But you can also, if you would please, support me in my new endeavor as head of community over at Fawn. This is really just the beginning. This is really just the beginning for this incredible startup that are going to be doing some really dope things in 2024 and beyond. It's a fun time. We're creating content. We're building community. And yeah, we're looking to shake things up and disrupt a few spaces along the way. So
Yes, disruptor. Well, I thank you guys both for joining me for coffee today. And, you know, we're just going to go ahead and close out the episode. If you would like to learn more about me and my business, you can go to pinkdollhousemarketing.com to check out my website, or you can follow my business page on Instagram. You can slide into my DMs. That's cool. At Pink Dollhouse Marketing. You can also follow my personal page on IG at Pink Dollhouse Style and Pinky Creates on TikTok. I will chat with you soon, as in next year. Next year.
Oh, bye. Only 2024. Bye.
See you next year, y'all. Bye. Bye. Coffee with Yvonne is produced and edited by Yvonne Pearson. Coffee with Yvonne is created by Pink Dollhouse Marketing. You can catch the latest episodes by subscribing to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.